Worked. Well done, team. So I'm just going to invite Pastor Ben to come now and share, and just to say that, you know, having lived and ministered alongside Ben and Reb and the kids and the family, you probably got the sense that most of the workers in those images were probably Ben, Ben's wife, Ben's kids' friends, Ben's friends. but that's sort of how it works. It's sort of a roll the sleeves up, let's get this done kind of community. And Ben, thank you for coming and sharing at Lefevre tonight. We're really looking forward to hearing what you've got to share. And really after tonight, the plan for the campaign, if you like, or the kind of giving focus will be up to about March 28th. So Pastor Bill Vasilakis and the Seton team are kind of coordinating this, and we're all getting together and supporting. So if you've got any questions for Ben afterwards, just grab him, or we can get contacts if you want to sort of get in touch afterwards. But over to you. Thanks, Ben.
Thank you, Pastor Sam. It's great to be here. It's been, I think, it's almost like an annual visit in the last little while. It's good. How are you going? Because sometimes, you know, I was thinking sometimes life's pretty tough. And I know that's got nothing to do with what I'm preaching about other than Jesus. But maybe it's a good thing to ask each other. Sometimes we forget. One of our classic lines are, hey, how you going? And it doesn't really mean how you going, does it? It sort of means hi. But maybe today's a good day to ask each other, how are you going? How you doing? How's life? What's God been up to? Do you know God? Do you know my Saviour? But I just want to bring greetings from Alice Springs Christian Family Centre. We are, I did well today. I came down here, it was a top of 27. Is that right? Back home it was top of 39, so I chose the right weekend to come down, to come down here. But they're doing well up there. They bring their greet. I send their greetings to you guys here in Lefevre. You're often on our lips in a good way. We're praying for you guys often. Hello to everybody on Zoom. Hello, Effie. Is Effie? Yep. Good to see you guys and Alan. So. Show, grow, go, and what was the other one? No. I get to show. Show Jesus. So really, if you want to show Jesus, you want to know who he is. Maybe you know him. Maybe you don't. And if you don't know him, that's fantastic, because I can introduce you to him. If you do know him, I pray that today you can know him more, not because of me, but because of what God's doing inside of you, and you'll be filled with confidence. That's my hope. See, Jesus is not, he's got a few different names. The Word is one of his names. The Prince of Peace, the Lord of Angels' Armies, that's something that one of the version of the Bible brings out, the Holy One, the Anointed One, Messiah, all these different names, and it's the same man who is God, but he's got all these different personalities. No, that sounds weird, doesn't it? All these different traits. we can't just put Jesus into a box and think, oh, some people like to say he's a lamb. He's gentle, he's meek, and he's mild, and everything's nice. If you haven't, as long as you haven't worked with sheep, you'll agree with me. But then some people see him as a lion, and he's fierce, and he's royal, and he's scary. And somewhere in between is about right. But Jesus comes to us as we need to know him at that time. So I pray that today, just like Abraham, you might know a story of Abraham. There's a bloke in the Bible, his name's Abraham. And the more he got to know God, the more names God got. He became his provider. Before, he was just God, the Holy One. Then he became his provider, and then he was his banner. As we go through the Bible, God gets more names, and I pray that today we can understand God a little bit more intimately, or maybe a lot more intimately, as we talk about showing Jesus. Because once you know him, we want to live a life that is complete with Jesus. Did you know that your life can be complete with Jesus? I don't mean complete like the end. I mean complete as in whole. You can have a whole life with Jesus Christ. whole. You can be complete with Jesus Christ. Now, you might have been a Christian for so long and you go, get on with it, Ben, whatever. But we need to understand that. We need to understand that we can be complete with Jesus Christ. He completes us. It says in Genesis 1:27, we are created in the image of God. And if that's the case, then as we have Jesus in our life, we'd never stop growing. It's my belief that we never stop growing, but we can become complete. We can become whole. We can become content with the Lord Jesus Christ. Life may still be kind of dicey at different times, but we can still be complete and live a dicey life. If you've chosen to make Jesus your King, this is who he is to you. If you haven't said yes to him, I'll pray that today is the day where that can happen. He brings hope, he brings purpose, he brings joy, even when life stinks. Who's got a perfect life here, anybody? Because I certainly do not. But we can still have joy and hope even when life is like that. So I've been asked to share a few stories about how we show Jesus in Alice Springs. In some ways, Alice Springs is different, but Port Adelaide, got to love Port Adelaide, that's my... it's my heritage, six generations or something, Port Adelaide. So I love this place. In a lot of ways, there's a lot of similarities. But you've got a beach. We don't. But we are closest to every beach in Australia, I've heard it said. Very different, but there'll be some similarities here. So one thing, the way we show Jesus, we've got a group of young adults, and not quite adults, but we lump them in the same group anyway. There's about six or seven that my father-in-law, Steve Lewin, he takes out. And there's a hill in Alice Springs. It's called Anzac Hill. And you go up on top of Anzac Hill, and they were actually praying up on the top of Anzac Hill, these young fellas, because Steve loves to pray. If you ever met him, you'll know he loves to pray. So he was up on there, and he's teaching these guys about prayer. And so they would pray. And this one particular night they went up there and they're praying down the line. If you look one direction down from Anzac Hill, you go Hungry Jack's. It's hard to look past that, but if you can get past that, then you go Bow Repairs, there's a bike shop, you keep going, and then there's a building which is actually our church home now. When they prayed down that line, that wasn't our church home, but Steve said on this particular night, they really focused on this line. And they're praying down that line, and they're praying, and they're praying, and they say, the prayers started steering towards, Lord, we need a property. We need a property. We need somewhere to call home. And so they were praying down this line, and then within a couple of weeks, actually, this building started. We thought, maybe this could be our property. We didn't know that beforehand, but it's a way that you might say, well, how is that showing Jesus to your community? Well, you know what it did? It showed Jesus to these young adults. As they prayed, it showed them that Jesus answers prayers today. It's not just something we grab in the Bible and we read, oh, wow, that's really cool. Oh, well, that's fantastic. I wish that... No, it happened because of their prayers. They could see fruit of their prayers. Now, these young people, who knows what's going to happen with them as they get older? They might go to university. They might get a job. They might stay in Alice Springs. They might move on. It doesn't matter. But they know that God answered their prayers. So these young people saw Jesus at work, and that would give them an anchor for their faith as life goes by. Sometimes, who knows, we need an anchor for our faith. We need something to hold on to. That's one of my favourite stories in the Bible. I love the story of Joshua. Joshua is one of my heroes in the Bible. And there was a time where they crossed over a flooded river. God held the water back. It was called the River Jordan. They went over, and what they did, they created a pile of stones from in the river on the bank. And they got some piles from the bank of the river and they put it in the middle of the river. It was a testament to what God had done. And there's times like this where God answered these young people's prayer that this is going to be like a pillar in their life. It's going to be something they remember. And they say, I remember, who knows, when they don't be 20, 30, 40, 50. I remember when God answered my prayer. I didn't think anything was going to happen. I thought this old crazy man was just telling us how to pray. But when he taught us to do this. So that's one thing we're doing. Our young people are getting to know that God answers prayer. And not because of anything else than he likes to answer prayer. As we pray according to his will, as we listen to him, and it's quite incredible. And these Christ, I would call them Christ-inspired prayers, encourage us to live Christ-inspired lives. And so we catch the heart of God as we pray. And I believe very much in an intimate God, a God who is close to us. He's not a God who is far away in heaven and we have to do A, B, C, D, and then one day he'll be close to us. He is a God who wants to be close to us right now. And so by praying his will, we get to live lives according to that same will. I was praying last night about this, about now, about the message, and it was sort of a light salt sort of theme. And as I was praying, I got this picture. And the picture was of a house. And the house was dark. I was inside the house and it was dark. And have you ever been in a house that's dark? But maybe parents might get this one. The kid thinks that nobody can see that their bedroom light's on, but there's a slit of light. Good. Some people got that. There's a slit of light that's under the doorway, and they go, "Ah, they're not." They think they're clever, these young ones. I've been there before, but so you got this little bit of light, and I felt like this light was like some of our lives. It says in Mark chapter 4, verse 21, it says something. This is supposed to be fantastic. Jesus said to them, "Do you bring in a lamp to put it on under a bowl or a bed? Instead, don't you put it on stand? For whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open." It's talking about letting your light shine. And so I just saw this picture, and who knows that we live in a world that, in my opinion, you might share my opinion, the world's getting darker. It's pretty scary. I know I've got three boys, Elijah, Josiah and Zion. Josiah's only this much shorter than me now, would you believe? For you guys who know Josiah, it's like, oh my goodness. So I think, in my opinion, the reason I told you that is because Rebecca and I, do we have kids or not? Do we want to bring kids up in this world or not? And we had three kids, so I guess we decided we would have some. But it's dark. And so as I was thinking about this picture, maybe it was a God picture, maybe it was my imagination, I'll let you decide on that. A little bit of light is going to shine brighter and brighter and brighter. Now, if this room was completely black and that light wasn't on, if I did this, that light would shine on every one of your faces. This one little action like that, you'd be able to see me, I'd be able to see you. This would throw light into every corner. Now, when I was growing up, the world was different. Maybe it wouldn't, but you know, as years go by, it's going to get darker. You know, I'm a little bit strange, some people would say. Wayno, just keep your mouth shut, all right? I actually like that the world's getting a bit darker, because we're getting less and less grey. Now, I don't rejoice in the time where things are going to be dark, and don't get me, I don't really love persecution. But what it does, if it's really dark, then a light shines really bright. Does that make sense? So we have a little bit of light somewhere. As the world gets darker, if we hold on to that light, it's going to be really obvious that there is light. And so what I mean is this. The more we shine Jesus, the more obvious it's going to be that we have a light living inside of us. Jesus Christ is one of his names is light of the world. He's a light of the world. So through our language, our light can shine. Through our kindness, our light can shine. Through our stability, our light can shine. And this light shines through all of these things. And it might be a little bit of light. And this is supposed to be, I think this is sort of a double-edged sword, this picture that I've got in my mind. If you feel like you've got just the tiniest bit of light and that's all that you've got, it's okay. It's still light. It's still light. Saying, oh yeah, but I don't shine as much light as this person. I don't shine as much light as I want to. Well, maybe you can do something about that, but you're still shining light. And as our light, as our world gets darker, your light, even though it might only be as bright as this cigarette lighter, people are going to notice. And your light, which if you're a Christian, the light inside of you, I'm not talking about a new age light, I'm talking about the light being Jesus Christ. I don't want any confusion there. I'm not just saying a light, I'm talking about the light of Jesus Christ shining out of you. Then that's a way we can show Jesus. I talked before about our young adults. Stephen Lewin again, my father-in-law, if you've ever met him, like a phenomenal man. One of the things we do is we do hospital visits. And in Alice Springs, there's a lot of illness, a whole lot of illness. And he goes and he visits people. And just about every day he goes to the hospital. You know, a hospital visit can be you shining light to people. A home visit to people can be you shining your light, the light of Jesus, into your community. He goes in, and sometimes when I started in Alice Springs, our ministry when we got there was pretty much visiting the hospital. That's about almost all we did. And when I went in there, I thought I was visiting the patients, but I was actually visiting the nurses and the doctors as well. Didn't know that at the time. But I was also visiting family members of the sick person. And so the light of Jesus Christ, and it was the funniest thing, because I'd be walking into the hospital and you hear, Inkata, 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 Inkata. Everybody's, and they're all going, Pastor, 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 Pastor. And I'm going, what are they whispering about? What have I done wrong? I don't know what's going on. People notice. And I just thought I was going up and I was just praying for these, but they say, please pray for me and lay my hands on them, pray. It's all right, I won't hit you. Lay my hands on them and lay hand on them and pray for them when you're allowed to do that. You're not allowed to lay hands on people at the moment. But you know what? What I thought was just a simple act of being nice to someone was shining the light of Jesus so brightly and so strongly, and ended up, I don't know if you visit anybody in hospitals or homes or old folks' homes, what's really cool is you start praying for them. What's your name? Wesley. Cool name. Yeah, Lord Jesus, I thank you for Wesley. I thank you, Jesus, that you're with him all the time. I pray healing on him. I don't know if you're sick. This is just what I pray for sick people. In Jesus' name. And then I open my eyes and have a look around, and there's a couple of nurses. And Lord Jesus, thank you that you died for everyone. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are the King of Kings. Because I want them to know that I'm just not a nice guy. All right, Auntie Mary bringing the cookies in. She's the nice one. I'm here because I want to see Wesley made whole, but I also want to make sure that these doctors know that they're loved. And the nurses are loved, and the family knows that I'm here because I love this person. I love Wesley because of Jesus, and so it's a good opportunity. I'm a little bit—I don't know if that's a little bit naughty. I don't know if I'm breaking rules, but there's no way they're not going to hear the gospel message in like 30 seconds while they're standing there waiting to fix up Wesley's bandage on his knee. So, let your light shine. Even a light on in a room with its door shut lets a little bit of light out. So I just want to encourage you, like, open your door, mate. Maybe open your door. Secret believers can't stay secret anymore. You've heard of the secret believers overseas? They got to hide their faith. Otherwise, they literally get killed. Literally. There's so many deaths of Christians overseas only because of their faith. But you leak. Your light leaks. You can't help. But when someone's kind, they're going to, whoa, what's wrong with you? My little boy, Zion, they call him Muckle, Witchetty Grub, in Alice Springs. Everybody he goes past, he says, hello, hello, hello. He still does it, hey? Hello, hello. And like, a lot of people, big smile, hello. And then some people look back, sort of back a little bit. What's he doing? Why is he saying hello to me? But your light will shine. As I wrote, it was leakage. I feel like your light's going to leak. You almost like sometimes we go, oh, maybe people won't know. I mean, for me, sometimes fear grabs hold of me sometimes. What if these people don't want to know about Jesus? What if I'm going to be too pushy? But you can't help it. You shine Jesus. Imagine Moses. He goes up to the mountain. The Bible, the story goes, he goes up to the mountain, spends time with God. When he comes back down the mountain, his face is like radioactive. Not really, but he's glowing because he was in the presence of God. And he had to put a veil over it because otherwise he was too bright for people to see him. How cool would that be? We spend time in prayer and we actually got this light on us. It might not happen. It probably won't happen. But our deeds... Oh, we can show the world the hope of Jesus. You say hello to somebody. When's the last time you said hello to a complete stranger? Hey, good to see you. You do it all the time. Excellent. I love that. Your light, showing Jesus, will blow people away. You're a Christian? I saw something different about you. Something's different from you. Maybe did you pray before? You're just itching your eyebrows before you had your meal. It's a light that comes out. There's a guy in our church, or another legend. By the way, these two are like a dynamic duo, Stephen Lewin and Malcolm Heffernan. Malcolm Heffernan is such a phenomenal man of God. When I came to Alice, he was doing pretty good, and then he sort of, life's hard, because if you knew Malcolm, life's hard. Then he's good, and then he's a little bit bad, and then he's good. But over the last couple of years, he's just gone better and better and better. He goes, you know what? I'm going to speak about Jesus, and I'm going to tell my family about Jesus. And he's always, Ben, I need my family to know about Jesus. And his light in Jesus Christ is shining so brightly. I said to him one day, I said, Malcolm, can you tell me who your family are? Stupid question, hey. Who is your family? And he goes, he just laughs at me. He always laughs at me. It's quite disconcerting sometimes. I haven't lost that knack, Sam, asking stupid questions. I'm really good at it. And he said, Malcolm, who's your family? He laughs at me. He says, everyone. Everyone. I go, all right, no worries. That doesn't help at all, but thank you, Malcolm. That's... He shines the light of Jesus in his workplace. Malcolm's an interpreter in the hospital services and visiting homes. People know that they are loved when they've met with Malcolm Heffernan. And if he gets half a chance, he's going to tell them about Jesus and the hope of Jesus and about living one way, about living only for Jesus Christ. And he's so passionate about telling his family. It is so wonderful. So he is another man in our church. He was in a video. Anyway, you have to come and meet him one day. I want to encourage you this afternoon. I want to encourage you to really own this. I want to encourage you to say, no, Jesus, he's my Lord. Some people go to church and that's cool. That's great. And then some people go to church and really own it. This is my faith. This is not my grandfather's faith. This is not my parents' faith, although it is. This is my faith. And I can change people's lives because of the light that is in me. And that's quite mind-blowing, really. A God that's living in you, which is Jesus Christ, changes other people's lives because you live this. This is not just a faith you have. Oh, no, this is... See, I think you're even in trouble if you're one of those people. No, this is my private faith. I won't tell anybody about it. I'm just going to live for Jesus. I'm just going to pray to him. Sorry, but very soon your light's going to shine because our world is getting darker and the light of Jesus is going to leak out of you and you're going to go, oh, and people are going to say, are you a Christian? Because you're different from everybody else. Well, yeah, I'm a Christian. Tell me about that. I don't know. I don't even know how to do that. Come to church? I don't know. We have such a hope. We have such a hope that this world needs as we show Jesus. And it's like these sort of talks. When I was a teenager, these talks freak me out. I can't show Jesus. What if somebody tells me off? What if somebody laughs at me? What if somebody calls me a name? I don't know if I can handle it. I'm not talking about hardcore evangelism. I'm just talking about living life. Our light's going to shine because we've got Jesus. There's a quote which I find absolutely... How should I say this quote? I don't even know how to explain this quote. There was a bloke, his name was Zinzendorf. I think he's a count. And I believe he was part of the Moravians or the Moravia, and they had something like a 100 or 200 year prayer meeting. That'd be pretty cool, wouldn't it? You get a bit tired after a while, I think. But what happened is they had 24 hour prayer among these people. I think that's him. But you can look and you can do some research. He had this really encouraging quote, and it goes like this. The last little line, it goes on for a little bit. The last quote says this: preach the gospel, die, and be forgotten. And I read it and I went, whoa, what do you mean? Like, that's just hardcore. But I started thinking about it. I thought, that is absolutely fantastic. Preach the gospel, die, and be forgotten. I thought, that is exactly what we should be doing. Like Stephen Lewin, Malcolm Heffernan, these guys could think of nothing better than someone saying, there was this bloke I used to know. I can't remember his name, but he just wouldn't shut up about Jesus. Every chance he had, and even when he wasn't talking about Jesus, he was demonstrating Jesus, showing us Jesus. He was shining his light. And so I quite like this quote now. Like, it's kind of... I don't know, weird, but the more I read it and the more I think about it, the more I go, that's actually really cool. Oh, we did this prayer thing years ago. I was in New South Wales in a town called Orange, and we always talk on about nameless, faceless generation. We don't need someone up the front preaching. We just need everybody living for Jesus. And that reminds me of that. So maybe that's for someone here today. I know it's for me, but I just had it on my heart. Preach the gospel, die. Sorry, it sounds so sad, doesn't it? Preach the gospel, die and be forgotten. That would be cool. That would be cool. I reckon I like that. Because we live for Jesus, because at our church we are like Church for All People, Christian Family Center. One lady, Daidu, she's from Pibbljar. She's not from Pibbljar, she's from Papunya. And she calls us a church that's all mixed up. I love it. It's so good. Because we're a very mixed up church. We get between six and eight indigenous language groups in our church every Sunday, and often it's up to 12, and it's really awesome. And we just use English as our main language. If you check out our Facebook page, there's Lady Naruna. Oh man, she is on fire. You should hear her preach. And she preaches mostly in Pindara, but then uses a English word every now and then. So she's saying that, but she's fired up when she's preaching. Fantastic. And there's other ladies who might sing in Western Aranda. So we give people an opportunity to minister in their own language, and it's so good. But because we do this, when I said before, we got the second tent because we're shining our light of Jesus. And he goes, oh, you guys are good guys. I've got a tent in the backyard. Maybe you guys can use the tent. We go, thank you, Jesus, because the other one's literally tearing apart. Because we shine our light of Jesus, this guy, this music shop owner, Darren Rumble, he likes the Christian faith and he likes the Hindu faith. I'm not sure exactly how they go together. I'm not sure they do, but he likes what we do. So because we're shining the light of Jesus, this is what happens. And I don't know how it works, and there's not a strategy there, by the way. We've got a group in Alice Springs called Special Souls. People with severe disabilities, they use our church premises for their yearly Christmas get-together when Father Christmas comes in. And trust me, these guys aren't Christian. There's might be a Christian amongst them, but they know that when they come to our church, they're loved. And I'm saying that to brag, because we got incredible people in our church. But what I'm saying is people know when they're loved. People know when they have the real deal in front of them. They know they're not being judged. They know they're just being loved. And that's shining the light of Jesus. We don't say anything other than, oh, we would love you to come and use our church. A couple other things we do. We've got the Bird Family Bible Study. We go to their house. We have, that's a family, by the way. It's not a bunch of birds I preach at. That's a family that we go and encourage, and then they go and encourage other people, other family members in their language. So I teach them in English because I can't speak Algiera, I think their language is, and I can't speak that. So then they go and teach their family. I've talked about hospital visitations. We've got young people Bible study. We do Create. I love Create, something we do now with performing arts. Fortnightly, we'll get together. Who knows? Who's old enough to remember DC Talk? They're a Christian band. There's a song they do, it's called Jesus Freak. It's a little bit on the heavy side of music, but our young people really want to do Jesus Freak for the next family service coming up, so we're going to go hard and we're going to do Jesus Freak. It gives an opportunity for them to express their talents for Jesus, then shine their light and not be ashamed of their talents and using them for Jesus. They're going to use their talents anyway, so why not encourage them to use them for Jesus? It's a lot of fun. We're talking about Malcolm Heffernan with discipleship training. Topsy Smith Hostel, there's Aboriginal hostels in Alice Springs. We pick up from one hostel, Bath Street, Alieta Hostel, and we take them to Topsy Smith Hostel. And people sing in their own language. They sing in Pidinjara. We used to sing in Nananjara, but they all finished up. All of them, hey. Did you know that in our church, the only Aboriginal people that are there from when we first got there are Malcolm and Isabel Heffernan. The rest of them are all gone. Every single one of them. It's devastating. And we also go to Juvenile Detention Centre. Topsy Smith, sorry. Topsy Smith is, we go there and they sing in their own language, cause, and then sometimes we might have Junkaya Tapaya, we might have Narina Burden, Burden or Adamson? What? Yeah, they preach in their own language, and people come past, and again they see the light of Jesus shining. I don't run it; I just turn up with the hymn books. I put the hymn books down. I just sit there and listen, and I encourage them to preach. I encourage them to sing, and so it's giving people an outlet in their faith for their faith in their language to shine Jesus. And then the hostel managers, they get the gospel, and anybody who comes in and out, they get the gospel, and they always talk, who's those people? And they say, oh, that's the church. And it's cool because it's uniting churches there, Lutheran churches there, Anglican churches there, Baptist churches there, people belonging to the different churches, but we all just come together, and every time we meet, it's one God, there's one church, one God, and it's great to bring that together. So I want to finish with a couple of scriptures. Let's go a couple of scriptures. That's one. Not that one. Romans. Romans chapter 8. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. So it sounds to me like I want the Spirit of God in me. Verse 11, and if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. Very awesome. Verse 12, therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it is not to the flesh to live according to it. And then verse 13, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die, but if by the Spirit you put to death misdeeds of the body, you will live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. It blows my mind. Are you led by the Spirit of God? You know, some people will say yes, some people will say no, and some people will say, I don't have a clue. And none of those answers are wrong. But I want to encourage you to listen to the Spirit. I've got, there's one more, last verse, I've gone back and repeated verse 13. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. So the light inside of us encourages us a certain way. We need to put to death the things of darkness inside of us, and the light will shine brighter and will bring life to so many more people. The Holy Spirit empowers us to live this way. Holy Spirit isn't just like a grey fuzz somewhere that's kind of a weird part of the Trinity, kind of talk about the Holy Spirit, I don't know. The Holy Spirit is God, and the Holy Spirit empowers us to live how God wants us to live. The Holy Spirit empowers us to light, our light will shine to all people. So a challenge I have for you, because I like to challenge people, is rather than... Now, there's nothing wrong with that little bit of light shining under your door. So you're going to do that. But what if you open the door? Then there's a whole lot of light just going to come out. I feel like that is a God thing for one of you, for three of you, for maybe for all of, I'll say, us. The light of Jesus Christ brings hope where there is no hope. The light of Jesus Christ brings purpose where there is no purpose, and there's not a lot of hope, and there's not a lot of purpose out there, and it's only going to get worse. So I want to challenge you, have a pray about opening the door of your life and letting people know who you really are as a child of God. If you're not a believer, I would love to pray with you that if you want to choose to live for Christ, I would love to pray with you today. Two more scriptures I've got. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, because the Bible says that once you become a believer, you also become a priest. And you're, what? Because you say priest, and I don't know about you, but I picture a dude up the front with a robe on. All right, some people call him a dress on. At the front, there's a new Anglican minister in town. I was having a coffee with him in Alice Springs the other day, and they've got clothes underneath, so they've decided to derobe. All right, they're not going to be robed up anymore because they think that's sort of like a distancing thing between, and I would agree. So they just go on civvies like us. They've got a little special thing on the, are they Anglican? I don't know, the Anglican symbol? What does that look like? Depends where you are. Anyway, they're still Anglicans, don't worry. But what it does is it brings them closer to us. And so to the scripture, 1 Peter 2 verse 5 says, "You also, like living stones, are being built together into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." So we're being built up and we're becoming a spiritual house, which I love that picture, because the church is not this bricks and mortar. The church is us, yes? Is that true? It's us. We are the church. Offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. So we're a holy priesthood, it says there in verse 5. But I don't know about you, but then if I keep reading, all of a sudden, we're not becoming a royal priesthood if we go to verse 9, but we are a royal priesthood. We are a holy nation. It's a bit of a tension to me because I'm becoming, but now I am. Maybe it's a bit of both. Maybe we actually are saved, but at the same time we are becoming saved. We are born again, we are forgiven, but at the same time we're being forgiven continually and we're growing closer into God. But I don't know if 1 second I'm saying I'm becoming something and then the next 3 seconds later, like 2 verses later, I am this thing. It's like, whoa, hang on a minute. I didn't read the fine print on that. Am I actually there already? I would say yes. You are a priesthood. And I believe very strongly when the Bible says that we are a priesthood. You are a priest. You are a minister of the gospel. Whether you like it or not, whatever you think of priests and whatever you think of ministers, hopefully you don't think your guys are too bad or that I'm too bad, but it doesn't matter what you think. You are a priest. Once you become a Christian, you have a Holy Spirit living in you and you are a priest. Kind of scary in one way, but we get to shine the light of Jesus. So, I'll read this. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. Who likes the sound of that? You are God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. So the question I have for you is, how can you show Jesus in your life? How can you, right now, without making any changes, how can you show Jesus in your life? And hopefully you're ticking. I'll get Tara up, please, to play a little bit of keys. But how can you, without making any changes, and you think, well, you know what? When I do that, I am actually showing Jesus in my life. When I'm working and I don't swear when I hit my nail with a hammer, maybe I'm shining Jesus. Maybe when I open the door and let someone else go through first, maybe I'm shining Jesus, because you might notice there's not many of us gentlemen left, is there, Wayno? Only you and me, mate. That's it. You know, we can shine the light of Jesus so easily. And we think it's got to be standing on a street corner and preaching Jesus. If you do that, go for it. Seriously, go for it. As long as you do it with the love of Christ and your love for people more than love for yourself, then go for it. Because I've met some witnesses who love themselves more than they love the people that they're witnessing to. And that's not how Jesus did it. That's not how Jesus lived. So I want you to consider, how can you let Jesus' light shine? How are you? Maybe you can encourage yourself right now. Actually, I'm doing okay. I can do more, but I'm doing okay. I'm shining Jesus' light in my life right now. So I want to encourage you to. So have a look at that. And then have a think about, maybe I can do a little bit more. Maybe I can shine Jesus' light like this. Some of you guys still go to school. I went to I used to go to prayer meeting at my high school, and I used to be really shy, so I'd sneak into the door hoping nobody would watch me and nobody see me go in. Maybe you want to start a prayer meeting at your school on an afternoon, during lunchtime maybe, or after school. Maybe, I don't know. There's so many opportunities we have. We can just go, okay, God, what have you got for me? What have you got for me? So embracing, and I just want to encourage you also, if that picture of that door that's closed, if that's for you, if that's like resonating in you, maybe stinging a little bit, maybe it's time to just open the door, saying, all right, I'm not going to hide my light anymore. As it said in Mark 4, I'm going to put my light on the hill. Where's my cigarette lighter? I'm going to put my light on the hill. I'm going to let my light shine, and I'm not going to be a closet Christian anymore. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the lives of other people in our life that bring us encouragement. Maybe they bring us a bit of a push. But I thank you for the people that you've put in our lives that help us see your light, that help us be people who are going to demonstrate God's love to this world. I thank you for your son, Jesus, Father God. I thank you for your son, Jesus, that he brings us hope. He brings us purpose. The finished work of the cross, hallelujah, the finished work of the cross is enough. And we want to shine your light, Lord Jesus Christ. We want to shine your light in every situation in our life. And as this world gets darker, Lord, we look forward to your light shining brighter, because darkness can't put out light. You've already won the victory on the cross. You've already defeated every devil. You've already defeated death. Thank you, Jesus. Help us be people who shine the light of Jesus. And I even pray that right now, as we are here, as we are here in this place and we're quiet, I pray that you would come now, and I believe you're already here by the power of your Spirit, that you would quiet our lives. Lord, I pray a supernatural peace in this place right now. Thank you, Jesus. Stir our hearts. Help us to know the reality of who you are and the benefits that we have and that other people can have of knowing Jesus Christ, not least of all, eternity with you. Pray that your hope would so fill us, and that in every circumstance we would see your light shining from us. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.